set up the importance of the teaching that we're going to get about prayer. This is Job chapter 27 and verse 10. Job is right before the book of Psalms. Now, verse 10 is the verse that I want us to pay attention to, but let's get a running start at it in verse 7, Job chapter 27 and verse 7. This is Job speaking, and he says in Job 27, 7, "Let my enemy be as the wicked, and let him who rises up against me be as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the godless when God cuts him off, when God takes away his life? Will God hear his cry when distress comes upon him? Will he take delight in the Almighty? Will he call upon God at all times? I will teach you concerning the hand of God. What is with the Almighty I will not conceal. Behold, all of you have seen it yourselves. Why then have you become altogether vain?" But there's something there in verse 10 that will help us to, I think, pay more careful attention to Christ's teaching about prayer. He asks the question, will he, that is, will the godless, take delight in the Almighty? You can tell that he expects the answer to be no. He will not take delight in the Almighty. And then there's this, will he call upon God at all times? Will the godless call upon God at all times? And he, again, you can tell that he expects the answer to be no. And so what we have here is a test of genuine religion. And the other side of that is a test of hypocrisy. So the teaching is that something that a hypocrite will not continue to do is pray. A hypocrite will not continue to pray. So, if you are a child of God, you will pray. But if you are a hypocrite, you can't keep it up. You don't believe in it. You don't believe in God. You don't trust in God. And so this is a test. Do you continue to pray? Because if you do not continue to pray, and I don't mean just like God is great, God is good, God we thank you for this food. You can do that mindlessly. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You can do that without ever thinking about it. I mean, do you on a daily basis? I don't want to make you feel unnecessarily guilty. You might miss a day every once in a while. But do you on a daily basis, continually, cry out to God? Do you make space in your life to pray to God, to have that fellowship with God that comes alone through prayer? Do you? Because if you do not, it is a sign that you are a hypocrite, because a hypocrite will not continue to call on God. Now, with that setting the tone of the seriousness of what we're about to encounter, now turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. As a spiritual physician, I have to walk a line between two things that I want to avoid. I want to avoid helping people who are really unconverted to think they are converted. And so I want us to know the truth of our spiritual situation. That if I'm lost, I want to know, because I don't want to be lost. I want to know God. So that's one extreme. I don't want to make people comfortable in false Christianity. On the other hand, I don't want to make true Christians experience unnecessary anxiety. And so to try and avoid that extreme, I don't want you to experience unnecessary anxiety. Let me say that I don't know of anyone, let me state it positively, every Christian that I've ever talked to will admit that there are times when he has trouble praying. So the fact that you have difficulty praying or that you have difficulty praying regularly is no indication that you are not a Christian. I want to know, do you keep getting up? So there are times that you and I fail in our Christian lives and we fall down and we skin our knees. Do you get up and dust off your pants and say, God helping me, I will do better? Because I don't think a hypocrite keeps doing that. But if you're a child of God, I think you will do that. There's a scripture in the book of Psalms that says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his word. And so I want to avoid both of those extremes. If you're a hypocrite, I want you to know it and feel it this morning. If you're a real Christian, I don't want you to doubt your salvation for one moment. Okay, with that in mind, let's see what the Lord tells us here in Matthew chapter 6. This is a section where he is saying, be careful that you don't do your religious acts in order to be seen by men. And so he gives us three examples. Last week we saw the example of giving to the poor. Make sure that you're not doing that to show off. And now he turns his attention to prayer. Make sure that you don't pray in such a way as to show off. And here he's talking about private prayer. He's talking about secret prayer. So if we are going to obey the Lord, there are times when we're going to pray in public. I have prayed in public twice this morning. On Wednesday night, we spend 30 to 40 minutes praying. And we have men from the church who come to the microphones and lead us in prayer. And I think that that is an essential part of our public worship. And so it is inevitable that some of our religious responsibilities are going to be performed in a public setting. So the Lord is not saying, don't ever pray in public. But he is saying, when you pray, make sure that you're not doing it to show off. So let's see what he has to say. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So in the introduction, I've told you that there is something that a hypocrite will not do. He will not continue to pray. Something else that a hypocrite will not do. He will not forgive his enemies. So let him who has ears to hear, hear. Now to begin the body of this sermon, I need to define a couple of terms. What is prayer and what is a hypocrite? And then examine ourselves, asking the question, am I a hypocrite? So that's going to be the first thing. And then in this passage of Scripture, there are several things that Jesus says, do not do this. So do not do this. Let's see what he says, do not. And then, thirdly, we'll see what does he say to do. how are we to pray? And then there is the confidence that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then finally, we have to deal with the question, why should we pray since God already knows everything that we need without saying a word? So first of all, what is prayer? Now I'm just going to deal with this very briefly now because I anticipate in the weeks to come to teach more extensively on prayer. My plan now is to take the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, and the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and spend a week on each one, so that 1 week will be, Hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? We'll spend a week on thy kingdom come, and what does that mean? And so, unless something happens to interrupt my plans, it'll take us about 2 months to get through the passage of Scripture that I just read. But I think that we need help and encouragement on praying. All of us do. The most faithful of us who pray need help and encouragement and guidance on how we ought to pray and pray in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. So just very briefly, I'm going to give you the answer that the Baptist Catechism gives to the question, what is prayer? And here it is. Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God by the assistance of the Holy Spirit for things agreeable to His will. In the name of Christ, believing with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. So I don't really expect you to remember more than one or two things from that definition, but in the weeks to come, I think I'll have opportunity to explain a little bit more. Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God by the assistance of the Holy Spirit for things agreeable to His will. In the name of Christ, believing with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. It's a very good definition of prayer. And now let me move on to what is a hypocrite? And then to ask ourselves the question, am I a hypocrite? Well, a hypocrite, the reason I'm explaining this, Jesus says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. And one of the outstanding features of a hypocrite is that he does the things that he does for the sake of being noticed by people. So from this passage of Scripture, here's the question that we need to ask in response to that. Do I pray in secret? Do I have a secret prayer life? Because you see, the hypocrite doesn't. The hypocrite has a prayer life that he makes sure that someone's going to catch him at it. He makes sure that people are going to see him at it. He makes sure that people are going to hear about it. He may just drop a hint every now and then about, oh, this morning when I was in my third hour of prayer. You know, something like that, that wants people to notice. So a characteristic of the hypocrite is that he does his religious things so that he might be noticed by other people. And so the question is, do you pray in secret? Now here's another characteristic of a hypocrite and should make us ask, am I a hypocrite? There's a certain way that you present yourself when you are around religious people. For most of us, that's at church, that's at Bible studies. So the way that you present yourself around religious people, is that the way that you are at work or at school? So would your church friends be surprised to see the things that you're doing or to hear the things that you're saying, the words that you're using at work or at school? you know, this pierces to my heart because I was a hypocrite from the age of 6 when I first professed faith in Christ to the age of 14 when I was converted. And so for about 8 years, I was a hypocrite and I didn't know it. Now, see, that's the dangerous thing. Hypocrites are not just people who say, well, I know that I'm a hypocrite. I would say that there are almost no hypocrites who have that attitude. I think most hypocrites think, okay, I know that I'm I'm not praying in secret, but here's why I'm not praying in secret. I'm busy with other good things. Or this is, I know I haven't prayed in secret for a couple of years, but I used to pray in secret. And once saved, always saved. You know, if I was saved 2 or 3 years ago, then I'm saved now. And we've got all these little yeah buts in our minds. When I was a hypocrite, I had all those yeah buts. I know that I'm sneaking around and I talk a different way at school than I do around my parents or around other Christian people. Yeah, but. So that's the first question. Are you the same at work or at school? Now, there are some of you who have good enough manners that people at work and people at school also think that you're a Christian. Now, look, the goal here is not that if you're grumpy at home, you should be grumpy everywhere else. That's not the idea here, that if you're, you know, if you're a mean, nasty person at home, that you're a mean, nasty person when you come to church. No, that's not the goal here. Right now, the goal is to ask, is your private life consistent with your public profession of faith in Jesus? And so far, I've asked, are you a Christian at work? Are you a Christian at school? And some of you can honestly say, yes, I am. So let me take it a little bit deeper. Are you a Christian in your family? Or do you allow your true colors to come through in your relationship with your spouse? Or in your relationship with your children when you're peeved at them? Now let me just pause right here and watch out. I don't want to make a Christian feel anxious. We're all sinners. There are things that I have done since I've been pastor at the Bullet Lick Baptist Church, ways that I've talked to my wife, ways that I've talked to my children, that I would just be so embarrassed if there was a camera and you played a little 5-minute clip of that right now. So I don't think that I'm a hypocrite. God, show me if I'm deceived. So I'm just telling you, nobody expects you to be perfect right now. God remembers that you are dust. I'm just saying, look at the general tenor of your life and ask, am I a Christian at home? Or do I allow myself to be grumpy towards my spouse? Do I allow myself to be pouty and upset for weeks at a time with my spouse? Do I try to get my way by withholding love from my children or from my spouse? Do I think that the way to accomplish righteousness in my family is to give people the silent treatment for days on end? Those are searching questions, aren't they? Are you the same at home as you are when you're around people that you want to think that you're a Christian? Might be at work, might be at school, certainly it's at church. Are you the same at home? Let me go just a little bit deeper. In your private life, when nobody knows what you're thinking, what are your thoughts like? When you are in private and the door is closed and there's nobody to see what you're looking at on the computer, are you a Christian right then? Because it's possible that you're acting like a Christian at church, you're acting like a Christian at school and at work, you're acting like a Christian around your family, but when you shut the door on your inmost thoughts, you love sin. You know it. You know that you love sin. Or maybe you're just, yeah, but, everybody does it. Yeah, but I'm a sinner. Yeah, but, A guy's going to slip up every once in a while. Yeah, a girl's going to, you know, indulge a little bit in this or in that. Just be careful. Just be careful that you're not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is not the same in her secret life as she is in her public life. So Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like that. Don't be a show-off. Now, let me guard against something else. I don't think that this means that when you pray in public, you have to be as boring as you possibly can be. You can tell that when I pray the second prayer, I've put a little thought into it. I'm not just having private devotions here. I am praying to God on behalf of the congregation, and when my heart is moved, I want your heart to be moved. And so I use those phrases when I pray. God, help me. I don't think I'm trying to show off. I think I'm just trying to do my responsibilities as a pastor to say, this is the way we should feel about these things. The way we should pray about these things. But I and anyone else who preaches or prays in public has always got to beware of this danger that we're showing off. I see Jim, Bob, and Missy nodding their heads. They've probably gone through their heads. Same thing with musicians. Same thing with people who play music well or people who can sing well. Just be careful that you're not doing it to show off. It doesn't mean that you have to be shoddy. Doesn't mean that you have to be sloppy when you do it. If you've got a good voice, use it for the glory of God, but just make sure that you're not showing off. I have to be careful of this when I sing harmony. I love the sound of harmony. I love sitting in front of Molly Outland because she sings alto and I sing tenor. And with Molly's alto and my tenor, it sounds really good. And I just have to be careful that I don't get so caught up in sounding good, harmonizing with Molly and Missy and Jim Bob, that I forget what I'm singing. And so sometimes I just don't sing harmony. I'll just go ahead and sing the melody. You might not have that problem. Know thyself. Know what your tendencies are to show off. You have a tendency to show off by just occasionally dropping the name of some semi-famous person that you've had a conversation with, or just kind of dropping a little information here or there. There are some things that I don't talk about in public. This past week at the camp where I preached, there was an emphasis on I urged them last year to memorize the book of Philippians. And I'm urging them in the coming year to memorize the book of Colossians. And a student came up to me and said, how many books of the Bible do you have memorized? And I said, I don't tell people that. You know why I don't tell people that? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to memorize books of the Bible so I can just say, oh, I've got all this many books of the Bible memorized. Know thyself. There are certain things that you have a tendency to say so that people will notice you and brag on you. And that is the tendency of the hypocrite. Jesus says, don't be like that. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. It's rarely appropriate for you just to drop down on your knees as you're walking down the street or the middle of the mall. There may be times when it is appropriate, but just make sure that you're not doing it so that people will brag on you. You say, well, is that really a temptation? What happens in Islamic countries when they sound the call to prayer? Well, the really pious, boom, get down on their knees, put their faces on that rug right then. It's a very great temptation. Make sure that you're not doing that. Jesus says, if you do it for that reason and people notice you and say, wow, he's really holy. Jesus says, you've already received your reward. I guess we've got to make the decision. Do we want to please the God who sees in public? That's the small letter G on that God. Or do we want to please the capital letter God who sees in secret? Because you're not going to please both of them. Make sure that you're not praying like a hypocrite. And then in verse 7, he also tells us how not to pray. Do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So this, in order for a prayer to be a good prayer, it doesn't have to be long. But there are a lot of people who think the only good prayer is a prayer that takes a long time. I don't have that much to say, and so I'm just going to say the same thing over and over again. All right, if you're just trying to make your prayer long, that's a bad idea. But if your heart is full of something and you say it more than once, that's okay. Before the Lord, you're not trying to show off, you're not trying to prove that you're really sincere by praying a long time, but you're saying the same thing again and again. It says concerning the Lord Jesus that he went and he prayed the same thing using the same words three times. And then there is one of the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 136, which after every statement says, his mercy endures forever. I didn't count how many times it is, but it's after every phrase, his mercy endures forever. So repetition by itself is not necessarily bad if your heart's in it. But if you're just saying it because you think God will be impressed if I say this over and over, it's showing a disregard to God, whom we assume is listening to us. So how would you feel if your four-year-old came up to you and said, Mommy, can I have a cookie? No. Mommy, can I have a cookie? No. Mommy, can I have a cookie? No. Mama, can I have a cookie? No. It's like, I said no. This is not going to earn you a cookie if you just say it over and over and over again. So don't be like that. Don't think that your prayer has to be long in order to be effective, and in order to make it long, you fill it up with a bunch of meaningless phrases. So those are some of the things that the Lord said, do not do this. Do not. Don't show off. Don't try to make your prayer long as if that's going to get you what you're asking for. Don't try to make it long. Are long prayers wrong? No. No. The Apostle Paul writes to churches that he hasn't even seen, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Like, man, you must have prayed half the day if you're praying for all these people that you haven't even seen. So, no, Jesus is not saying your prayer must be short. He's just saying, don't make it long for the sake of being long. On at least one occasion, Jesus prayed all night. So we've had a definition of prayer, definition of hypocrite. We've seen what Jesus says, do not do. Now let's see what he says we ought to do. So he says in verse 8, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there needs to be some private prayer. You know where my private prayer closet, the word prayer closet, has come from this passage of Scripture, because the King James Version says, go into your closet and shut the door. So do you know where my prayer closet is? It's from my mailbox around all the cul-de-sacs on the southern end of the neighborhood where I live. Very few days that I miss taking a 20 to 30 minute walk around that part of the neighborhood. I don't know, the neighbors might think I'm crazy, because as I walk, I pray, and I find it helpful for me to pray in a very quiet voice. And so I'm just walking along, praying in a very quiet voice, sometimes maybe even whispering, and they think, maybe they think, hey, Jim's crazy. He walks around the neighborhood talking to himself. No, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to God. I'm not trying to show off in front of the neighbors. I'm just telling you that having a private place to pray doesn't always mean you've got a special room in your house. You might not have a special room in your house where you can. I do think it's helpful if you have a place and if you have a time. That's usually what you do with everything else that you want to make sure gets accomplished. You have a place and you have a time. And so if you have a private room at your house that you can shut the door and just commune with God, then you should take advantage of that. But it may be that for me, it may help you to walk while you are praying. That's not the only time that I pray during the day, but that is that's probably my main prayer time, that 20 to 30 minute walk, and then praying throughout the day. So do pray to your Father who is in secret, and then remember that your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I think I condensed one of the points into another, but anyway, here we are at the end. So at the end, I'm asking, why is it that we even pray at all if God knows everything that we need? So Jesus is stating this to bolster the point, you don't need to make a whole lot of words because God knows what you want even if you don't say a word. So if God knows what we need, then why does He require us to pray at all? The first answer is because He does require it. And so if you never get it all figured out, how your prayers work with the sovereignty of God, just go ahead and pray anyway because God says to do it. So that's a very good answer. A second reason is that God uses prayers to accomplish the purposes that He has ordained. I don't understand how all that works. Maybe this will help you. So some of you have gardens and now you're picking beans and picking squash. Was it God's will that you have a garden and you pick beans and squash and tomatoes? Well, yeah, there it is. Did He know that you were going to have beans and squash and tomatoes right now? Yes, He knew. So what did you do about 2 months ago? You put seeds in the ground. And if you had not put seeds in the ground, I can promise you it would not have been God's will for you to have tomatoes and beans right now. How does all that work? Do your duty. Do what God asks you to do. Pray. And if I pray for someone's salvation and he gets saved 10 years down the road, did God choose him before the foundation of the world? He sure did. Did the Holy Spirit work in him? It's God who works in you both to will and to act according to His good pleasure. He sure did. Did Jesus die on the cross for that person? He sure did. Did you pray for that person? Yes, I did. God says, that's one of the things that I used to bring about this crop. So if you can't get all that worked out, just take it that the Bible says that the Lord does answer prayer, and that we should pray and ask the Lord for the things that that we want, things that are in accordance with His will, and that He answers prayer. But here's a third answer. So the first answer was just pray because God commands it. The second answer is pray because God uses it to accomplish His purposes. And the third answer is this: prayer changes you. Prayer changes me. And if you have spent 5 minutes in real prayer in your whole life, you know that it's true. Sometimes I come into God's presence with all of these anxieties and vexations that are weighing me down. I come into the Lord's Prayer and I get about this far: Father, and God's peace comes. Just coming into God's presence gives me a different perspective on everything that is bothering me. Prayer changes you. There are some things that you want, but you're kind of ashamed to ask God for them. Well, if it's something that God doesn't want you to have, then just conform your will to God's will. The great goal of the Christian life is that we should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's imagine that you are sitting in a rowboat that is attached by a rope to a tree that's on shore. And you want to bring the boat and the land together. You pull on the rope. Who moves? Do you move? Or does the land move? You move. But if you want the boat and the land brought together, the effect is the same. If one of the purposes of prayer is that we should be brought together with God and brought in harmony with God, we pull on the rope of prayer, even if God doesn't change, we change. But the effect is the same. We are brought near to God through pulling on the rope of prayer. What a gift it is. I hope that this sermon will be an encouragement to all of us to pray more earnestly in secret. Jim Bob, come and lead us in a concluding hymn.